Got Your Ears On is brought to you by Tactical Legion Knives. Live from the campus of Tom Radio, under the direction of Guido, Scoot, and Johnson, it's the pride of podcasting. It's Got Your Ears On.
All right, everybody, hello and welcome to this week's episode of Got Your Ears On. I'm Guido along with Scoot.
Snowmageddon.
And Johnson.
G'day, mate.
G'day, mate. Ooh, that was a good one. That was good. I feel like, Johnson, you won this week. You won this week.
I feel like I didn't. Like, Josh isn't here to ridicule me, so hopefully he's not too offended by that.
But. Yeah, I'm sure he won't be. I think I offended him enough.
I guarantee you, if I start speaking, I will offend him.
So that was that's the big news this week, guys. Josh Groudon going to be on the show here in a few minutes, so that's awesome. Stay tuned. You're going to get to listen to that. But, guys, I just want to come off of last week saying, wow, what a great week it was for us in our show. The Darius Stills interview kind of blew up. It was great to see that. A couple articles written about it, Voice of West Virginia, a couple other places picked it up about Darius talking about how his tweet wasn't the intent of his tweet, but so pretty awesome. Thanks for everybody who listened last week and all you new subscribers.
Yeah. From, thanks to Darius for taking the time out. That was super nice of him. He's awesome.
Yeah. Good time. So it was awesome. And then also this week, guys, we had another ticket winner. So congrats to Josh. Yeah. Josh got to go. He got two tickets to the Austin Peay game. He tweeted at us at the game. That
tweeted
was awesome.
A picture of his seats. Yeah, that's awesome.
So it was a good time. So definitely keep listening, folks. There'll be more giveaways as we go on through the year. So definitely keep checking that out. But guys, yeah, the big news is this week on the show, I got a chance to talk to Josh Groudon just before he left to go back home to Australia. He was still in Morgantown, and we got to connect on the phone. Let's take a few minutes, listen to my conversation with Josh. All right, we're really excited to have Josh Groudon on the show. Big team or Big 12 All Team Honorable Mention for Special Teams Player of the Year. Congrats on that, Josh. Thanks for joining us, man. We really appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks for having me.
So, how did you get from playing Australian rules football over to playing American as a punter? I mean, is there some sort of like Australian portal that that you guys use, or how'd that all work out?
Yeah. So after my time playing Australian rules football ended, I took up punting with a program called Pro Kick Australia. They're based out of Melbourne, and they've been sending Australians over for years to play college football, and then there's some in the NFL now as well. So I did that for almost a year, and then got placed at LSU.
Yeah, and then you did three seasons. Well, you were redshirted at LSU first season, and then came here to finish off your last year of eligibility. Man, you came into Morgantown hot. Like, you came in like with like 2 or 3 weeks before the season. How did that all work out? What happened there?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. So after I graduated from LSU in May, you know, I got my degree, and I was kind of like looking, you know, ahead to just my future. And I wanted to kind of go back and go play professional Australian rules football again. Yeah. Because, you know, at a young, like, you know, I'm not getting any younger. Like, you kind of either now or never to go back. Yeah. So I was talking to some teams back there, not really getting any interest. And then my punting coaches from Australia were like, they were sending a guy to West Virginia, and then he just pulled out at the last minute. So hence why I came in hot, because when they suggested, hey, do you want to go to West Virginia? And I eventually decided, you know what, let's do it. You know, it was like halfway through camp, so.
Yeah, no, it was pretty crazy, but it was good for Pro Kick to do that, to help and, you know, keep that relationship too with West Virginia and the schools here in the States. So
yeah, exactly, helped out with that. Yeah.
So you spent those years at LSU. You came to Morgantown. I'm sure everybody is always like, you know, talks about your accent and trying to understand you. But really, what people want to know is which accent was harder? Was the Louisiana accent harder for you to understand, or the West Virginia accent harder for you to understand?
I think Louisiana, when you got people like Coach O, you know, it's very, very difficult. Not as strong a twang up here, I don't think.
Yeah. I mean, you had it. Coach O's got that, you know, thick Cajun accent, and you got, you know, Coach Brown has the sort of, you know, Kentucky Southern accent.
Yeah, yeah. Not at all.
That's crazy. And then, but you got recruited, or when you first got to LSU, you were there with Les Miles. How cool was it to see him and beat him at the Kansas game?
Yeah, no, that was really cool. Pretty special to, you know, just kind of come full circle with two different teams to play against each other. And then, you know, we got to chat after the game and like catch up for a little bit. So it was pretty special.
Yeah, he's an interesting guy. It's a bit watching some of that show that was on ESPN with him, and he's just his whole process is interesting.
Yeah, no, it's quirky, but you know, I love him. And so thankful for what he did for me to bring me over from Australia. So
you kick left footed, which is not super common here in the States. Can you kick either way? Can you kick right-footed as well?
Well, so back playing footy in Australia, yes. Like we would use both feet, obviously one more dominant than the other. But then when I took up punting, you know, like I've just focused on, you know, left foot. So if like there was a bad snap and I had to like pick it up off the ground and just throw it on like on my right foot, then, you know, it'd get away with maybe a 30 to 40 yarder, but no, just generally just stick with the dominant foot in punting.
Cool. So you're in your last couple days in West Virginia and in the States, really. You're heading back home soon. You had your first pepperoni roll the other day, you said. I saw that on Twitter. Country Club Bakery from my hometown, Fairmont.
Yep.
What'd you think?
Oh, I loved it. So it was not what I was expecting. I was thinking more of a cheesy, deep fried type thing, like super greasy. And then when I like saw it, I was like, oh, damn. And then I tried it. I was like, oh, this is awesome. So tried one and like put some cheese and heated it up in like for another one and still got a couple more left. So looking forward to having them, to be honest.
That's awesome. That's great. So Country Club Bakery is great. We're friends with the owner there. They're good people. So that's awesome.
Yeah. No, they're really nice. They gave me an extra one because it was my first time. So
nice. That's awesome, man. So Aussie Rules Football, you played that professionally for a couple of years. Question is like, who's tougher? Are like the back pockets and fullbacks in Aussie Rules tougher than like offensive or defensive linemen? What do you think?
Oh, I mean, we don't wear pads or helmets, so that's one thing.
Yeah, that's pretty tough. Pretty tough.
Yeah. No. So yeah, I'd like to think us Aussies they're a bit more hard nosed.
Are you planning to play when you get back? Are you gonna try to play some Aussie Rules when you get back?
No, I mean if I do, it'd be just for fun. Nothing on the level that I used to play. Still thinking about continuing on with with punting maybe in the CFL and stuff. So I might go back to Australia and train with my guys at Pro Kick. And maybe come over back to Canada and try that. But yeah, things are kind of up in the air at the moment. Not really sure exactly what I'm going to do next.
Yeah, have you been approached or talked to any professional teams?
No, I've just been, my coaches at Pro Kick have been talking to, you know, just like the general CFL association about, you know, the combine, like the tryouts. And because, you know, there's a few other Australian punters who have just graduated and looking for what to do next. So we'll see what happens.
So you had a great season in Morgantown. Got to kick a lot. I mean, I know that for you, that's a great thing. For the team, maybe not as great. But couple of awesome plays, including that pass, that fake punt. What happened there?
That was awesome. Ever since I over and, you know, had Coach Miles, like we would run fakes all the time. Like in practice, but I never got to run one in the game. So to come here and in my last year finally get one, I was stoked. And you know, that particular play we'd been practicing for a few weeks and just, I guess waiting for the right time and situation in the game. And then it just so happened it was against Oklahoma. And yeah, just pretty cool, pretty special that Pat McAfee did his commentary on it. So just to, make it a little worthwhile. That's cool.
And then a couple weeks later, you got to meet Pat at the Baylor game. I saw your video. Yeah, that was how was that?
Yeah, awesome. Definitely a highlight for me of the year, just to meet, you know, like pretty much every punter's idol. Just a great guy. So really cool.
And he was appropriately dressed for that interview I saw as well.
Yes, he was. Yeah,
with the Anchorman outfit. Also, this season you got to play against TCU. Last game of the season. Last game for your college career. You played against Jordy Sandy, who is also an Australian punter. Did you know him?
Yeah, I had met him a couple of times. He'd come over on a trip. Like they do a pro kick tour of America. And I'm pretty sure I met him then when he was traveling through, they came through LSU. But yeah, I got to play against maybe five other Australians throughout the year, which is, it was pretty cool.
Yeah, you guys are taking the states by storm in the college football world.
Yeah.
And but that TCU game, man, you laid out a couple of good punts, including that one in the fourth quarter that pinned him, down the 2-yard line, I think.
Yeah. So, I mean, had one return to the house against us. So it was kind of like, you know, that return was good. So, like, okay, try and keep it away from him, kick it out of bounds. So pretty happy that my final ever kick in college was, you know, 45 yards out of bounds at the 2. So a good way to end up, especially after you get a touchdown against you. But and then to get the win in the last game was just awesome.
Another food question for you here. Again, I'm sure these are the ones that everybody, you know, cares about. Outback Steakhouse, right? That's most Americans. That's our like perception of Australia's Outback Steakhouse. Like with the bloom, how accurate is Outback Steakhouse to like the food back in your hometown?
I mean, not accurate at all. Very well commercialized and advertised and promoted as it being Australian, just like Foster's. Yeah. Not Australian at all, so I guess this is a good marketing ploy.
Yeah, are you excited to get back home and to be with family and be around things that are more familiar, I guess?
Yeah, definitely. It's always something when I go back every year, and then going back when I'm there, it's like, oh, like I missed this, you know, like these things. And when I'm in America, like having a great time, like don't really think about it, but it is when I go back, I'm like, oh, it's good to be back, so.
How was, you know, you came in after, you know, big changeover this year for the Mountaineer fans and player and team with new coaching and coaching staff. What was it like working with Coach Brown after, you know, compared to working with some of the other coaching staff at LSU?
Yeah, really good. Coach Brown's very attention to detail and, you know, emphasized special teams very highly and in particular punt. Not that LSU didn't, but like, you know, just... yeah, his schemes were different. You know, he got more gunners out in coverage with how we aligned the snap and everything. So it was really cool to, you know, just to work with him. And then they kind of took on things that I could do with the ball and, you know, incorporate that. So, they, you know, the rolling out punt and stuff like that. So really cool to work with.
Well, awesome, man. Congratulations on a great season. Your numbers were awesome this year, and, you know, we wish you the best. We hope to see you. One thing you'll learn, if you haven't already, one thing you'll learn about Mountaineer fans is we are dedicated to our players after you leave. So if you go and if you go back and play Aussie rules, or if you go kick in the CFL, we'll be fans. You'll be WVU people there. So
yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah, we wish you the best of luck, man. Have safe travels back home, and thanks for all your hard work this year, and thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, of course. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks, man. I appreciate it. I appreciate you taking the time, and have safe travels back, all right?
All right. Thank you very much.
All right, it was a great time talking with Josh. Pretty cool, guys. Super nice guy. So,
blimey. It was magnificent, mate.
That's very bad.
That's more Cockney.
That sounds like he's from a Dickens novel,
yes,
not from Australia.
Exactly.
You there, what time is it? You the poulterer. You know the one on the corner.
Well, you know, and I'm sure he gets it like all the time from other players and, you know, and people like about his accent. I thought asking him though about the West Virginia accent versus, you know, the Louisiana accent.
Yeah, I'm sure he was probably like, really, guys, you're making fun of my accent here? Yeah. Like, really? Well, is that what we're doing?
And I thought that was just because the fact that, I mean, if there's anywhere else in the country sometimes that has thicker accents that's harder to understand outside of Appalachia, it would be would definitely be Louisiana. I mean, can you imagine? We're trying to play for Coach O. Like,
yeah.
What are you doing?
You gonna come down to Louisiana?
You gonna come down here to Louisiana?
Come down here to Louisiana, down in the bayou.
Eat them crawfish.
Pass me the get them ball there. Yeah.
That's a pretty interesting. It's a pretty interesting trek for him too, because, I mean, playing for Les Miles and in that program, and then coming up our way. I mean, that's pretty cool. He got a few years of you know, two power conferences, two teams competing, you know, in two major conferences. That's a pretty cool experience for him.
Well, and kind of, and also just the coaches that he's, you know, played for. You know, he went through that big coaching change at LSU between Les Miles and Ogeron, and then coming up here and playing under Coach Brown. It's definitely interesting.
LSU have a translator on staff?
For Coach Ogeron? Yeah, they have to. They get Ogeron, like, they have to.
Man.
One thing I learned, though, Guido, from, I mean, among other things, but one thing that just really...
I know what it was. It was that Country Club Bakery pepperoni rolls are the best pepperoni rolls in West Virginia.
Actually, it was not. We already knew that, though, right? But
I knew that.
I did not know that.
I'm still, what do they serve in the Coliseum? Chico's Bakery?
Yeah,
I feel like I'm a little bit partial to those still after my basketball game.
I like my pepperoni sliced. Don't give me these pillars of pepperoni.
You don't like the sticks. You like the slice.
No, you get cheated.
There are some people who like the ground pepperoni too, though, man.
You might as well just stick a Slim Jim in a dinner roll.
Snap into a pepperoni roll.
I'm surprised it took him that long to have a pepperoni roll. I mean, he's been in for 4 or 5 months. I mean,
someone take the poor guy and get him a pepperoni roll already.
Jesus, yeah, really? Come on.
What I was going to say, the thing I learned, and maybe you guys already knew this, but I didn't realize there was that kind of that pipeline for Australian kickers, the program that he talked about being in that, you know, helped him find, you know, programs that were interested and those things. I didn't know that.
Yeah, so I guess Pro Kick Australia has been around I don't think it's been around terribly long, but it started off small, and I guess now Pro Kick has like 50 guys that are kicking in it that come over. And that's why I think you've seen that influx of Australian players, punters.
What did he say? He came across 5 or 6 throughout the season or something
like
that?
Yeah, he said he came across 5 because, you know, Jordy Sandy was kicking at TCU, and he's another guy who's like in his mid 20s kicking, you know, in college football. It's sort of, and I think a lot of it is the same situation where you get these guys who, you know, probably play Aussie rules professionally or semi-pro for a couple of years over there. And you talk about a sport that's tough on your body. I mean, we talk about football. I mean, these guys are basically playing football without pads, running around, running into each other.
I was just saying, so you said mid-20s, so you're saying there's a chance for me.
No, there's no chance for you. You're going to go to Australia, go to Pro Kick, learn how to kick,
and then come back
as a 42-year-old.
There was a chance for you 15 years ago.
You still have some eligibility, right?
Yeah. I've not used any of my years yet.
But I was going to say that I think you were talking to him about, you know, quote unquote coming in hot. I mean, he literally came in in camp. I mean, so it's just interesting how that Pro Kick program works to actually find placement for those guys even up to the last minute. That's just interesting.
Well, and I kind of think what happened there with that particular situation was, I think the guy who was supposed to kick this year was an Australian guy coming from Pro Kick who decided right at the beginning of camp that he wasn't going to come to WVU and kick. So that's true. Backed out. And I think that that's what happened.
Yeah.
And so I think the guy who runs Pro Kick called up and that's when he started kind of running around and trying to get somebody.
So listen, we got this guy, we got a couple of these guys, How does Groudon sound to you? Like, he's like a used car salesman.
What's it going to take for me to get you into this left footer?
What was funny? You know what the question that I liked? I asked him about the left foot, right foot thing. And when he says, he kind of like nonchalantly, he's like, yeah, I focus on my left foot. But like nonchalantly, he says, yeah, but you know, if I had to kick right foot, I could probably like 30 or 40 yards.
And he's like, I could still do this awesome thing with my other foot, my off foot, if you need me to. Right.
I mean, I don't want to toot my own horn, but I will. I think I could, left or right foot.
I don't think you could. I would venture to guess that you could not kick a football left or right footed more than 25, 30 yards.
I will second that.
I would say right foot, maybe 30 yards. Left foot, I would laugh if you didn't
listen.
Whenever I kick something left footed, it looks like if my right foot were asleep and I kicked something with it. That's what my left foot kicking something looks like.
I'm actually better with the left than the right.
Really?
So you're saying you're amphibious.
All right. You're amphibious. So what did you guys think about the fact that I think it was kind of news that he's looking at CFL, maybe going to the CFL and playing?
Yeah, that's interesting that he would talk about that. I mean, that would be an awesome way to continue on and play professionally. Or, I mean, he also talked about going back home and playing professionally too, right? So,
well, yeah, I think he's kind of saying that he's not going to go back to Australian rules football anytime soon. But I mean, it's, you know, he said he's going to go back and train with Pro Kick again and try to maybe try out for CFL. So that could be interesting. Maybe somebody could talk to XFL, could see him in the XFL.
I mean, I'll be honest. Like, I don't imagine there's much difference between a guy that kicks in the CFL as opposed to a guy that kicks in the NFL. So I would imagine if he can make it in the CFL, he certainly could end up being on somebody's roster in the NFL at some point too. Because
I mean, I can see a guy like Groudon helping you win an Anastuckus.
Get that CFL Anastuckus award.
They go through kickers. A lot of teams go through kickers all the time. Where you hear, they signed a guy from the practice squad, or they just picked this guy up who hadn't kicked a ball since he was in middle school.
Scoot, he also talked about that play against Oklahoma, the fake punt pass. He's been practicing that for 5 years. He's been practicing doing that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, he said he was excited to finally get the opportunity. It looks like, you know, it's probably something that they work on in practice that they're like, we're never going to actually pull the trigger on this. And then he's like, holy crap, we're actually going to do this.
He's got a great QB rating.
Can you imagine the adrenaline?
Yeah.
Adrenaline going through him at that time when he knows it's actually being called.
Yeah, trying to keep it inconspicuous and not, you know, make it obvious you're getting ready to do something.
I wanted to ask him, but I just felt like maybe it was a little out of place. That I wanted to ask him why he threw it regular football style versus doing like the Australian where they
would have been awesome. They spin it and granny spin.
You can do that, right?
That's a technique, I guess. Yeah, I mean, they I do that. They it's no different than doing an option, kind I of. Mean, so, how awesome would that have been?
Big 12 refs don't get anything else right. I don't think they would have called him if it's not allowed. So,
true.
I'd say you could do it.
I think you were. I mean, he was a good sport about your Outback Steakhouse question too. I mean,
full disclosure here. That question was 100% Scoot. That was from the mind of Scoot.
I don't think anyone even...
I wanted to dive deeper. I wanted to get a little deeper dive into the brown bread. Like, I want to know if that's what they do in Australia.
Or Bloomin' Onions. You wanted to know...
Yeah, before we do those interviews, you know, I ask you guys for questions. And Scoot sends me... You know, Johnson asks a couple of football questions and things. Scoot sends me a question, literally sends me a question of like, why is the bread brown at Outback Steakhouse? I just don't think Josh Groudon's going to know the answer to that, Scoot. I don't think that's going to be on his wheelhouse. I mean,
I'm just asking what people want to know.
Like, why does Foster's come in that big can?
Like, listen, we can talk football all we want, but I have a closer connection to Outback Steakhouse than I do getting on a football field.
Let me ask you this. Right, I hear you. Let me ask you this. This is true. I feel like in West Virginia, I don't know, this might be true for other collegiate teams, but I feel like more so for WVU. Why is it that we get these kickers that have these like pretty awesome personalities? You know, we had Boomstash a couple years ago, obviously McAfee.
We do like, have a history of that. Yeah, we do.
We have a history of these guys who have these like very outgoing sort of, you know, fun loving personality. Is that just that position? Like, are all kickers just like, there's, it's such a mental part, like it's just,
yeah, do you think it's just the nature of the specialist position that you get these charismatic guys?
It's not even just kickers though. I mean, look at what's the long snapper for WVU,
Rex Sunahara.
Sunahara, who's by the way, I didn't know this until this week, Rex Sunahara, only WVU player this year that is on Mel Kiper's big board, in case you're wondering. He's the number four. He's on Mel Kiper. He's like number four for long snappers.
How's he on Mel Kiper's board? He's not even on my board. How do I not know about this poor guy? That's on me then. That's on me.
Get him on your board. Do you have a board?
I feel like I need a board.
You don't need a board. Nobody's going to look at your board.
I would like to have a board. Listen, come April, I want to see the board.
So, but seriously though, the specialists, they all get this personality.
How about
crazy
the nickname Boomstash?
Boomstash.
Like, that's a ridiculous nickname.
That was a play on Boomstick. He had to go with something.
I really want this Casey Legg kid to start kicking. I don't know what his personality is like, but he's got the perfect name for a kicker. Casey Legg. Yeah.
Like, that'd be like calling you Glasses Mouth because you talk and you wear glasses. Like, come on. Like,
Glasses Mouth.
It would not be like that.
Oh, a little bit like, man, that.
What goes through your head sometimes just blows my mind.
I guess it would be Mouth. You're right. You're right. You guys are right. It would be Mouth Glasses.
It'll be cool, though, to see if Josh goes for the CFL route, though, because I'd be interested to tune in and follow him. We've had a couple other guys go the CFL route, but that's cool.
I'd like him to try to learn a new accent in French-Canadian. I'd like him to have to deal with a French-Canadian coach.
That would be tough.
Well, like, I feel like he's run the gauntlet if that happens.
I kind of feel like he's kind of got that, you know, in a way. But, no, I think, like, just a regular Canadian accent, like a coach that's going, eh? You know, yeah, you got to get over there. We have to follow the process.
This is going
to
sound a little naive, I guess. I imagine, like, in the CFL, are we talking mostly Canadian guys coaching, or are they Americans?
No, they're mostly I think you get a lot of spillover from American football.
So you don't think we have Canadian guys doing all?
I'm sure there are Canadian guys coaching.
I'm sure. I don't know that I ever really thought about it hard. But
what's the difference, anyways? I mean,
what's the best Canadian football college team?
Do they play college football in Canada?
They have to, right? Canada,
Do they play college football in Canada?
Like, that's a good question, right?
I don't
know. Is there an SEC of Canada? I mean, obviously, they wouldn't be on the Southeast Coast because there is no Southeast Coast of Canada. Would it be the NEC, the Northeast Coast?
It would be the Saskatchewan.
I don't know why that's so funny to me, but it's hilarious.
The Eastern Saskatchewan Conference.
What would the SEC be? It'd be like Toronto and, like, I don't know, right? It'd be
Hamilton. There's no coast. It would have
Kingston.
To just be
the
SEB, the Southeastern Border.
Skewed, it would be like SEB. It just means more, eh?
Oh, man.
It just means more in the SEB.
Now, if you were looking at the standings and you had two teams that were tied, would they be side by each?
Oh, my gosh. How do we get there?
So, guys? Anyway, Josh Ground.
Josh Ground, thanks for coming on the show, Josh. it was awesome. It was pretty cool, though. It's nice to see people, you know, coming on the show, obviously, and talking to us. But it's also nice to connect with some of these guys. I mean, I think sometimes we forget, you know, when we see them play and we've gone all year. And honestly, of all of the players on the team, his name might have been called the most this season of any player, because he had a lot of plays out there more than the average. I think he ended up with
he was definitely called upon for his services.
Yeah, I mean, he had more than average. I think I looked at his career stats, and at LSU, the most punts he ever had was 57. That was his freshman year, 2016. He had 57 punts. This year, he had 68 punts this year. So, you know, another 10 punts on top of that. So, well, listen, let's take a break, guys. Thanks for Josh for coming on. We're going to hear a little bit from our sponsor, Vortech Knives, and then we're going to come back and talk a little bit of basketball. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to Got Your Ears On. Vortech Knives is a West Virginia-owned and operated company specializing in high-quality steel, fast-opening, everyday carry-in knives. If you go to VortechKnives.com today and use the code GYEO, you get a 25% discount on your entire order. That's Vortech, V-O-R-T-E-K, Knives.com, a West Virginia-owned and operated company specializing in fast-opening, high-quality, everyday carry knives. Vortech Knives. All right, welcome back to Got Your Ears On. I'm Guido, along with Scoot and Johnson. Don't forget, check us out on Twitter, at Got Your Ears. It's a great place to kind of get our daily musings and whatever we're thinking about. We retweet a lot from the university, you know, whatever's happening. So Twitter's sort of our home base, so definitely check it out. That's at Got Your Ears on Twitter. Guys, since the last time we talked, we've played two games in the basketballs. And we won two games in the basketballs.
Yeah, and almost with identical scores. So the Govnas from Gunna. Austin P came in. So we beat them 84-53, and then WVU most recently played Nicholls State, featuring D'Angelo Hunter, transfer from WVU, and they won 83-57. So
real quick, just on the Austin P game, just so we can kind of not to breeze over it, but Austin P, who, by the way, we still haven't figured out what kind of P that is, if it's a snap P or a sugar P. Austin P, that game started off kind of slow, and then we just sort of ran away with it pretty quickly.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of those things where, like, I think most of these games here in the non-conference, our size and athletic ability, just after a while, it just kind of wears people down. I think that's what it did to Austin Peay.
Right, definitely. I mean, we were up by 8 at the half, and then just second half just tore away with it.
I spent most of the Austin Peay game being angry that my Roku WV app didn't work.
Oh man, and that was, and then WVU put, like, people were going crazy on Twitter about that. So, like, people were like throwing their row crews across the room on Twitter, and then WVU posts, like, probably at halftime, maybe, "We are aware of the issue."
Yeah, they were like, "Calm down, we're aware."
Now, while we're talking about that, just keep in mind, folks, if you're listening, you don't even have to worry about any of that next year, because all of these games next year are no longer on ATT Sportsnet. Everything that will be on ESPN Plus next year. So if you want to watch West Virginia play Austin Peay or Nicholls State or Duquesne at the beginning of the season, all those games, you got to pay for them next year on ESPN Plus. That's just the new world that we live in with it. So,
and then I spent the other part of this game admiring that Austin Peay's sports site is letsgopeay.com.
Sounds like a long distance trip.
Sounds like they called you, Scoot, to try to get the domain name is what it was. Hey, we're trying to think of a domain name. Let's call Scooty. He'll give
us. I got a pee. That's what I would have gone with. I got a pee.
Well, and I think people on Twitter were pointing out that that's what they had on the back of their warm-ups too. So they're owning that. It's not just like a website thing.
Is that an intentional thing that they've owned, or do you think like 10 years ago, like, one guy was like, "Oh, I got to buy a domain name," and he was like, "Okay, let's go Austin." No, somebody's already bought Let's Go Austin. Let's go P. Oh, okay. Like, that's probably what happened.
I would assume, yeah.
1998.
I would assume it's someone being clever, like, you know, tongue in cheek. This would be funny.
So they handled that Austin P game okay. Some good dunk action in that game.
Yeah, Oscar had one that they compared him to Shaq, mostly because he brought his knees up. I think if he didn't bring his knees up, they wouldn't have compared him to Shaq. So he kind of looked like that logo, if you've ever seen. He dunked and brought his knees up. Kind of looked like me from the summer.
The other thing, Guido, just before you move on, the other thing I tried to figure out was, I know I retweeted it. I think you did too, under the Got Your Ears handle on Twitter, but I also spent a good portion of the game trying to figure out what this older gentleman in the crowd was doing, who someone caught him in the stands. He had on essentially over the ear headphones, which, I mean, I have a pair of those on right now, but that's because we're doing a broadcast and I want to hear. Right. I usually don't wear those when I'm in the stands at a basketball game. And then if that weren't, and it had an antenna. So I don't mean like over the ears. Yeah. So not only over the ears, but a big antenna coming out of one of those cans. And then he had what is like a VR headset.
Yeah.
Like one of your phone. Yeah. And the big power cord running down under like his right eye down to some like power pack on his hip. I mean, I don't know. It just, and it was the headgear brace going up over his head. And then presumably who looks like his wife just acting like that's a Tuesday. Like, yeah. Everything's normal here. I'm just watching basketball while my husband is somewhere in space.
So what, I mean, okay. So we've been to plenty of football games before, WVU football and even basketball games. And I've seen the guys with the headphones and the antenna.
Sure.
And they're listening to Tony call the game.
They're listening
while they
to
watch
Tony
it.
And they're getting play by play. I get it. Right. You're outside, you're in a stadium. Okay.
But the VR, like, is he trying to watch the game on ATT Sportsnet? Why that's happening?
Right.
Is
that's
he
what
watching
I didn't understand.
Another game? Is he playing, like, is he playing some video game? Is he like a World of Warcraft kind of guy? I mean, is that what that is? Like, what's happening there?
It was bizarre.
It was bizarre.
I mean, there's no other way to describe it. It was bizarre.
Well, it makes me wonder, am I missing out? Like, maybe I need to be watching the games.
Couldn't have been VR. He'd be moving around, right?
No, yeah. He'd be moving around if I guess it was VR. I think he was either trying to watch that game or another game of some sort. Maybe he was watching another game. They put the guy on TV. Here's the thing. They put the guy on the TV, and then they didn't talk. They needed to go interview him. Like, send a man of Maisie up there to interview him or something.
Yeah,
you know?
And like, so, I mean, you really need to look at the photo. So if you haven't yet, we'll tweet it out after the show, you know, just for people that, in case you haven't seen it. But it was one of those things you were like, you saw it, and you were like, what is that dude up to? What am I missing out on not watching it that way?
So anyways, back to basketball talk.
Basketball.
Oscar, again, two double-doubles coming this weekend. You know, I'm starting to think, we had said early on in the season, if he pulls double-doubles all season long, he's going to go NBA. I'm starting to think he's not going to go NBA. One is, I think that come conference time, Ohio State and conference games, he's going to have a little bit harder of a time getting double-doubles. But two is, I still think he's learning a lot of basketball out there. I think there's a lot of basketball for him to learn.
So moving on ahead then to the Nicholls State game, there were big parts of that game. I mean, there's no denying Oscar's talent, and he's sort of like the big kid on the floor, you know, when he's out there. I mean, he's just so, you know, so much more athletic than the people on the other team. And in the Nicholls State game, though, you could tell there were parts of the game where you could just kind of tell he wasn't sure where he was supposed to be on particular plays or on defense or whatever. So, you know, people were like directing traffic around him. And then it was like toward the end of the game, then he was making some big dunks and, you know, athletic plays. But
I feel like a lot of that is it's like watching him play. Like you said, it's like watching him play like 6 year olds out there sometimes.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, he's the big guy. He just reaches.
Yeah. He's just like moving him out of the way. And
yeah. Pushing him out of the way.
It'll be interesting to see when they hit conference play and he, you know, like Scoot was talking about there. They're after this Youngstown State game that's coming up, which I know we'll get to that. But, you know, I think we hit this murderer's row of like Kansas, Ohio State. There's some, you know, a stretch of like four games in there. I'm sure he's going to come up against some people that, you know, the athletic, you know, aspects of the people he's going to be matching up with are going to be more like he is. And he's going to have, you know, a little bit more, you know, just knowledge of plays and defense, where he's supposed to be, where he's supposed to be in the paint, stuff like that.
Well, so. And the thing about Oscar, I think that's impressive the most is his speed. He's really pretty fast for a guy his size.
Yeah,
like
sure.
If you were to compare him against other guys similar sized, he's going to beat them most of the time. And I love the story that Hugs told, that Oscar told him, that when he was a kid, he would go hunting with his dad. And Oscar tells the story that he had to go catch the arrows. When his dad would fire the arrows, Oscar would have to run out ahead and try to catch the arrow.
Yeah, I think it's obvious that he's going to have a great professional career. It's just a matter of how long can we get him to stay, you know, here in West Virginia. And it was kind of funny, the post game, I think it was the Nicholls State, the post game, or as Jay Jacobs called it, Nicholas State.
Yeah, Nicholas State. He's in the Christmas spirit, Jay.
Nicholas, ho, 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 Jay Jacobs. But in the post-game interview for the Nicholls State game, he said, you know, Shuibe said about how he's learning so much from Culver, and like he loves playing out in the court with Culver. So he's really like talking a lot about how he wants to do that.
Can I just say, like, we're skipping ahead a little bit. Well, let's circle back on the Nicholls State game. But just how much do you love – I just love this team right now so much, how they seem to get along. Shuibe really – you know, being open about how much, like you're saying, how much Culver's teaching him and how much he learns from it. And then like when Spencer Mackey gets out on the court and hits those 2 points and the bench is going crazy and Matthews, you know, hugs him at half court and the student section's going crazy. I mean, I just love that vibe of these guys really seem to get along. They seem to genuinely care about one another and they want to make it, you know, they want to make the whole thing work. It was cool to see that at the end of
the
game.
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome.
What's crazy is like I feel like at times people feel that Spencer Mackey's like a charity case. The kid averaged like what, 37 points a game in high school or some ridiculous.
Yeah, they don't understand. They don't understand that. I think
if he were a couple inches taller, maybe a couple pounds heavier, he's probably seeing significant minutes. He's probably like a Sean McNeil type. I mean, you score 37 points, you're scoring them all different kinds of ways.
Sure.
Yeah, right.
Well, and so the Nichols State game, back to Oscar, you know, I made the comment that he had some gaps where, like, you know, he looked like he wasn't sure where to be on the court and spacing and stuff like that. Well, I think some of that had to do with Nichols came out just trying to kind of have a wrestling match, and then if a little bit of basketball broke out, they were fine with that. But they were just pushing and shoving, grabbing, like whatever they could do to kind of mess up the flow of the game. And early on, Guido, I mean, really up until about halfway through the second half, this game was still in doubt. I mean, I know the final score doesn't look that way, but this was a much closer game throughout.
I think this team's finally, though, starting to gel. And I think you said it, like you said before, I think this team's also, it's just they're physical, and so they just wear down, and they're deep, so they just wear down the other teams. I mean, you take a team like Nichols State, they come in with five guys that are good and, you know, another seven guys that, you know, could make a basketball team. Where, I mean, we're deep. This is the deepest Mountaineer team I think we've seen in years.
We are.
What I found interesting from that Nichols State game is D'Angelo Hunter. I vaguely, for when I read that he was coming back to WVU to play, I vaguely remembered him. I was like, D'Angelo Hunter. So then I looked at him. I was like, oh, I kind of do. And then he kind of like set fire on his way out. If I recall, he didn't play in the tournament, maybe the Big 12 tournament. Tried to like start a lot of drama about how he was promised things and that the coaching staff lied to him, and his dad somehow got involved in tweeting things about WVU.
No, you're right. And that's why I was a little bit, I mean, not a whole lot, but a little bit surprised. Did you notice that, you know, Hugs gave him a hug, you know, in front of the scorers table at the end of the game? You know, I can see there being, I mean, obviously Hugs is going to be bigger than that, but when you kind of burn the bridge on the way out, you know, might have some.
Well, you could tell that D'Angelo was like trying to prove something to somebody, I guess himself, that, you know, WVU made a mistake. I mean, what do you have, 14 points, something like that?
Yeah, and I mean, it was clearly an emotional game for him. He got teed up at one point for slapping the ball out of bounds, and when he would score, and he had some buckets that tied the game up at points, you know, he really gave a little extra like flex, and our student section was getting on his case. So he was kind of staring at the student section, stuff like that. It was clearly an emotional game for him.
I think that, you know, again, I think it's one of those situations where if you're Huggins, you spend a lot. I mean, and unlike football where you're recruiting, you know, 50 guys, 30 to 50 guys. I mean, in basketball, you're recruiting these guys, you're probably a little closer with them. Huggins is only bringing in, well, this year's different, but usually maybe 3-4 new guys.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
And so I think that's you're probably a little closer, you know, than that. But yeah, it was kind of interesting to see him back and how that. And I had forgotten all about all of that stuff until Scoot had texted us before the game about it. I'd completely forgotten about it. So anyways, this team's starting to come together. And I don't know if you noticed, just to kind of give you a measure of what we are going to be facing in conference, Wichita State, who we did okay with them, right?
Yep.
I mean, they gave us a little bit of tough time, but we still beat them, you know, well enough.
We beat them in the hotel.
In the hotel ballroom. Wichita State beat Oklahoma this weekend.
Yeah, that's big. Yeah, it's big. Yeah, that's a good point.
I'm starting to feel everything coming together, guys. It's starting to come together.
One other thing I wanted to mention there from the Nichols State game, I just in an ode to Jay Jacobs, I just want to keep calling it Nicholas State. But
Nicholas State.
So McNeil, you know, his shooting from the outside, I feel like each game kind of makes its presence felt a little bit more. And Hugs went from he went for a big portion of this game with what I thought was kind of an odd lineup. He left Culver and McBride, Napper, McNeil, and Harler out there for a long part of the game, which was just seemed like an unorthodox lineup. McNeil, though, finished the game 3 of 6 from three. Overall, we were 6 of 25 from three. So I feel like when he needs to go to an outside shooter, that's where McNeil gets inserted into the game. I thought he had a good game. His block of a dunk late in the game also really got people charged up. That was pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, the shooting outside, I mean, Miles did not shoot well at all. He was 1 for 5 beyond the arc, but the 3-point shooting, man, is it's just a little frightening right now, because you definitely need that to get a little bit better going into going into playing. Yeah,
and
these teams.
I think when you have Osaboyan and Culver and Schwebe, you know, maybe you don't, you have the luxury of not having to hit as many threes, but man, we've yet to really have a game, I feel like, yet in this early part of the schedule where we can point to that we had some success beyond the arc.
So we play this Saturday against Youngstown State in Youngstown, 1 p.m. game. Not sure if that's televised or not. I have no idea if it's on TV. We'll look it out. We'll tweet it out if we figure that out. But definitely check that out this week. We'll be back talking more basketball. You know, it's going to slow down. You got a couple slow weeks here, and then we get into the big time. You know, starting on January 4th, we just hit the ground and we're off. Like, so we've got 2 weeks here to keep getting things together. I mean, Ohio State's still going to be a tough game in a week and a half. But 2 weeks here to get things together, and then it's just like we hit the ground running. Yeah. Kansas, Oklahoma State, Texas Tech, TCU. It's already here. All right, well, listen, let's take a break here a little bit from our sponsor, Tactical Legion Knives, and we'll come back, and we'll talk a little bit of football recruiting right here. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to Got Your Ears On.
Tactical Legion Knives, a West Virginia-owned and operated company that specializes in heavy-duty tactical knives and gear for the professional warrior, the weekend warrior, and the outdoor warrior. Our products are built tough. For who? For warriors. Hey, Mountaineer fans, make sure you go on Amazon and search Tactical Legion Knives, and when you do, make sure you put in the promo code 25TOBRADIO for Tob Radio. You'll get 25% off on Tactical Legion Knives.
All right, welcome back to Got Your Ears On. Folks, don't forget, go and check out our website, gotyourearson.com. Johnson, it's kind of like the hub of everything, right? It's where they find out everything.
Yeah, that's right. It's your home for everything that we talk about on the show. We always link to, in the show notes, everything we've talked about. So if you hear something that you want to follow up on, you can go click on those links. And then you can find us, you know, links to our iTunes, Spotify, the whole nine yards. Tune in right on the page. And then links to our sponsor, Facebook page, everything else. So yeah, you're right. It's your home. Just your one-stop shop.
Yeah, so definitely check it out. Check it out, guys. So let's talk a little bit of football, high school, college football recruiting. Now, I'm going to be the first one to say that I've never really gotten into following like the high school recruiting so much, just because I feel like you hear these names and you hear all this hype coming out of high school, and then, you know, inevitably there's a red shirt, or you don't hear him, or you the guy who was a five-star never turns into anything. But we'll talk a little bit about it. I mean, so contact period was just from December 1 to the 14th, so the coaches got to go out and do all their stuff. Early signing period now is the like Wednesday to Friday, the 18th through the 20th of December. And then, of course, National Signing Day, which is where, you know, all these high school kids get on national TV. ESPN does their whole day of it. That's February 5th, right after the Super Bowl. So that's a whole thing. But we're going to kind of specifically, Scooty, we're going to talk about some guys in West Virginia playing West Virginia high school sports right now, and where they're heading, or what might be in their future.
Well, what's interesting is I think a lot of times when we think of high school football recruits, we think of the hotbeds. Specifically for West Virginia fans, we think, oh, we have like a pipeline to Florida, or historically WVU's done well with like the Western Pennsylvania kid or the Ohio kids because they're right. You know, linemen and the strong tradition of football there. There was a stretch where I think you could argue that the D.C. area, the Baltimore D.C. area, produced like Tavon Austin and some of those types of guys. However, there are several kids in West Virginia, especially here in the last couple years, linemen who have gotten a lot of attention. As a matter of fact, there's a Darnell Wright, I believe his name is, and he's at Tennessee. And he was an offensive lineman as a freshman. He was, I believe he was all conference. I mean, so it was a pretty impressive guy, freshman coming out of West Virginia High School to do well. Spring Valley High School. Are you familiar with such a place, Johnson? This is like your neck of the woods.
Yeah. Down in Huntington.
They churn out. Now, let me ask you this. You're Can I list your vitals? Can I list your info on air here?
Yeah, sure. I don't know how it's relevant to athletic prowess.
You're like 6'1" ish, would you say?
Yeah. Yeah.
Would you say that you fall between somewhere between 210, 220, somewhere in there?
Unfortunately.
Okay, didn't mean to get personal here. Anyway, at Spring Valley, which is close to you, they are producing monsters.
Okay.
There is
something
guy.
In the water. Something
that's,
in the
that's
water.
That's what I'm wondering.
Think,
like, apparently, it didn't did not run DuPont. Your way. There's a guy named Wyatt Millam, who is a senior, 6'6", 270 lineman.
Holy moly. Jeez, okay.
High school kid.
He is currently looking at 6 different schools. He's narrowed it down to 6 schools. WVU is one of them. He went and visited yesterday.
All right.
He also has Virginia Tech. He has Kentucky. He has Notre Dame, Penn State, and Alabama on his list.
Wow. Impressive. Wow. That whole list is an impressive
list. You hear a
list
like that, and I hear a list like that, and I go, well,
good for
okay.
him, man. That's awesome.
WVU is like his safety school, I think. Like, gosh, that's a pretty impressive list.
Like, that's the fallback. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. He's got a teammate who's a junior named Bryce Briggs. Or Bryce Biggs. I'm sorry, Biggs. He is 6'6", 275.
As a junior.
As a junior.
Amazing. Can you imagine if you had those two kids over at your house, like, for dinner?
Oh my God,
you have to cook,
no.
like, 3 normal family dinners and then eat whatever they don't eat.
It's like, oh, I'm hungry. I'll go get something out of the fridge. He eats the entire contents of the fridge.
Like, remember when Michael Phelps would say, like, well, I warmed up with, like, 6 Big Macs or whatever. That's what that reminds me of.
Like, that is where the value in the meal plan comes into play.
Yes. Right. That's right.
Like, the meal plan at college.
That's exactly right.
It's probably way more cost effective to just send the kid to college and pay for the meal plan than it would be to leave them at home. Because I imagine those boys are eating.
So, Scoot, we're growing linemen, obviously, in West Virginia. Do we have any skill players or anything?
Well, there's a guy named J.J. Roberts, again, from the Cabell Midland, from Johnson Stomping Grounds. He's a defensive back. He is committed to Wake Forest. So there is some Division I talent floating around the state. Chance Knox, another guy.
Let me ask you this, Scoot, and this is more just opinion, I guess, but do you think that Neil Brown now is trying to heal, and I'm supposing some things here, but I guess my viewpoint is Dana really never, and I feel like Dana made it known that he really didn't scout the state too hard. So do you think kids right now, in terms of when they're thinking about WVU, they obviously know about WVU. There's no doubt about that. But do you think they're, you know, Neil Brown maybe has some, what am I trying to say? Like, bridges to build to some, you know, high school recruiting or what?
I think he's put an emphasis back on recruiting in West Virginia. I don't think there was an emphasis at all. And if I could be honest, I feel like Dana was he somewhat disrespected the kids of West Virginia in the sense that he didn't even give them really a time of day. Yeah, I mean, the Stills brothers are kind of the exception. You know, you get the occasional tonkery from Bridgeport, but for the most, or Elijah Wellman, but you get a couple of those guys. But it seems like they were, by and large, they really weren't looking at West Virginia. I do think that Neil Brown's looking back and trying to make those connections again. They did get a commit out of Sean Martin, who is a defensive end from Bluefield, who is committed to go to WVU. Yeah. But those are all bigger schools. The interesting thing is we've got some small schools that have some guys with some D1 talent. And I want to talk a little bit about those guys, because the big schools, everyone kind of, they're in the, if you can call them, metropolitan areas of West Virginia, if there's such a thing. That's primarily where those schools are. Now, Wheeling Central is in one of those areas, but it's a small school, and they've got a guy, Curtis McGee, who is a quarterback. He is committed to Brown University, which is Ivy League. But
Ivy League, yep.
And he was injured, so he didn't even finish the whole – I think he played about half the games this year. He got injured, And they went on and won the state championship, even though he was injured. There's a guy named Liam Fultonier from Mount View, which is in Welch. Are you familiar with Welch, West Virginia, Johnson?
I am. His name's Fultonier.
Fultonier.
Then I feel like he definitely has to be
should
a mountaineer.
Like,
Fultonier has to be a mountaineer, right?
Yeah, he should
be
a mountaineer.
There's just no question about it.
Now, what county is Welch in? Let's do a little trivia question here.
It's McDowell County, isn't it?
It is McDowell County. Very good.
Yeah.
Mount View High School is where he goes to school. He is a big boy. And I don't know that he's committed anywhere, but he has visited Morgan State.
Okay.
So,
opposed to Morgantown.
He's got the Morgan part correct.
Right. He's got the Morgan part right. All right.
Another guy is named Eric Brown. He's from Williamstown. He's a linebacker. And he has an offer from Marshall, according to his Twitter, and he's visited WVU. One guy I do want to talk a little bit about, and his name is Mark Rucker. He is a running back from Tyler Consolidated. Three-time first-team All-State.
Okay.
He was LKC, which is the Little Kanawha Conference. It's named after the Little Kanawha River. He was the Offensive Player of the Year. There's a publication called Coalfield & Company. He was the single-A Offensive Player of the Year for them.
Nice.
And he's also a WTOV 9, Channel 9, Ohio Valley Big 22 finalist. So he's a big-time player. And this year alone, his stats are crazy. I mean, he's starting to generate a little bit of buzz. I'm kind of impressed. I'm impressed with him as a person, but football-wise, I don't know why you wouldn't want this. He only ran for 1,841 yards this season.
Okay.
That's all right. Scoot, okay. You could have done that. You could have done that, Scoot, without one of your legs.
That's right.
One-legged.
I don't know about that. He had 386 receiving yards to go along with that.
So okay.
2,100 all-purpose yards. Wow.
33 touchdowns.
Okay. Goodness gracious.
That's probably not even counting. 33, that's not counting
33 touchdowns. Were they they had to be undefeated.
Right?
They scored. They scored points. Mark was a big part of that. They were not undefeated.
They
ended up
undefeated.
Winning record, 6-4. But yeah, Tyler played a bunch of the big. Actually, I think their four losses came to teams that did well in the state playoffs. But he's a good kid. Some of the stuff I've seen, and we can mention it on Twitter. There's a clip of him against Magnolia High School where he was shucking and jiving. Like three or four guys, and I showed Johnson the clip, and it was pretty awesome to watch in person. It looks great on video.
No, I was gonna say, so not only that, and it is impressive. I mean, he looks great on the highlights. You're gonna go through this rundown, and you're not gonna talk about my other neck of the woods. Is that what you're trying to do?
Well, here's the thing. Okay, so we can talk about your other neck of the woods, Martinsburg. I believe they've won, 56 in a row?
Yes.
56 games in a row. Which
is that your alma mater?
They are your 3A state champions.
I mean, yes. They
again.
Here's the thing. They churn out football players as well. I would imagine almost every guy on their roster is getting sniffed at some point by a college for something, because when you win that many times, I mean, that's just ridiculous. 56 games.
I just think it's interesting that, you know, it'll be interesting to see what Neil Brown does with some of these in-state guys, because I know just the Guido, you and I have talked about this before. It's kind of like when you put the state emblem on a shirt, I'm going to buy that shirt. I'm that guy. You know, I want to wear that pride on my sleeve. So it'll be interesting whenever we do have a guy that's in state, shows up on the roster, gets a lot of playing time, you know, like a Reese Donahue, the Stills brothers. We could go on and on. I mean, we sprinkle them in now and then. I love seeing them have success. I love seeing them start and just go to battle against some of the other teams in the conference. Cause it's kind of like you get to say, see, You know, like we can stack up.
Right.
You know, yeah, but I mean, if you take somebody like Reese, I mean, I think he was a 3-year, at least 2-year starter. I think he was a 3-year starter. So,
but you know, Johnson, what I think about with it though, sometimes is that I also like to see those guys like Owen Schmidt and those players who come from out of the state, John Flowers, those guys who weren't, you know, either on the football or basketball side, who weren't West Virginia born and bred, come in and then fall in love with the state.
Oh yeah,
as well.
No, I definitely and you see love that a lot too. So, yeah, but, I definitely you know. Love that too.
Well, listen, guys, it's been a great show. We should probably wrap it up for the week. First and foremost, want to thank Josh Groudon for coming on the show. It was amazing to have him on. We wish him the best of luck. And like I said to him in the interview, you know, once you're a Mountaineer, you're always a Mountaineer, and you'll have fans for life. I mean, even though he played most of his career at LSU, I mean, I think all of us would be super excited to say, hey, former Mountaineer, you know, playing in the CFL, former Mountaineer, you know, throwing those funny passes in Aussie Rules football, whatever it might be. So guys, listen, we're going to be back next week with another show. I did want to say one thing, which is, we're going to do next week something special. We're going to do our 2019 West Virginia University Christmas gifts. So we're going to give out gifts on air. You know, we're going to say, hey, what gift? And we know we can't give real gifts because of other rules and regulations, but we're going to give out gifts.
Gifts with a T, right? Not gifts.
Not no, gifts.
Not,
well, I mean,
we're
not we give
going
out
to give
gifts.
Them short video clips. No, we're not gonna
gifts. Okay. So, anyways, we're gonna say, hey, you know, what would you give Bob Huggins?
That's a good question. Maybe a tuxedo.
Why would you give him a tuxedo?
Something different to wear. Maybe I don't know. Just something.
What if he, in Hugs fashion, came back at you with a pullover? Like tuxedo print.
There you go.
That'd be interesting.
A tuxedo
like take,
print
like take
pullover.
That. Like take that. I'm still wearing my pullover.
That's the kind of stuff we're talking about. We're going to give out gifts. But if you have a gift that you want to give to a player or a coach, you can call us, leave a message. Maybe you'll get on air next week. The number's 774-213-1383. That's 774-213-1383. Call, leave a message of what gift you might give to WVU coach, player, staff member, whatever it might be. So we're going to do that next week. The WVU, the annual Got Your Ears On Christmas Gift Special is what we're going to call it.
Nice.
So, guys, thanks for another great show. Thanks for Josh Groudon for being on the show. We'll be back next week with another one. Youngstown State on Saturday, 1 o'clock. And definitely check that game out if you get a chance. And thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. This has been Got Your Ears On.